Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Hi, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. Yeah, I know she had a baby. 7-3.
No one heard you because your mic was down,
Lance. Yeah, but now they did. Now they did, didn't they? Why did the University of Houston play Lady of the Lakes? Can you stop
sport?
Doing that?
And what sport did they play them in?
I mean, it was like 112-40. Can we stop doing that? And we don't have to play. I don't know if you heard.
In men's basketball?
Yes.
Well, they had to bounce back from that loss to, what, who did they lose to?
They lost the other day to East Carolina.
They needed a cupcake to get back on track.
I think it was probably scheduled well before that.
Then why is a game in February against Lady of the Lake scheduled?
I have no idea. But when I was coming across, I'm like, that's ugly. Stop doing that.
Our Lady of the Lake.
Yeah.
They are located, they're located in town.
Are they really?
In Houston, yes.
Is that a high school?
No, it's a university. Our Lady of the Lake University, yes.
It's in Houston?
They're an NAIA program.
NAIA program?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Our Lady of the... Never heard of them.
Well, learn your city, John. They are the hometown squad.
You didn't play Kevin Harlan yet.
Well, you didn't ask me to.
Well, because the guy is drunk. That's why. He called that correctly about me. The guy is drunk.
Well, that's who you are.
That's right. Well, this guy ran on the field last night. So Streaker paid. That was a prop bet, Streaker or no Streaker. Actually, I think it was like 7-1. It paid pretty well. Can you imagine with 5 minutes left in the game and you put that money down on that on Streaker and it hadn't paid yet? You're like, well, there goes my... What?
I would always hold off on freaking out because those things can happen at any point. Yeah.
Yeah. No. It absolutely can happen anytime. So here is the call of the dude who ran on the field last night with 5 minutes left.
Second down, 20, 5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants. Take off the bra and be a man. And the players with hands on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why? Is this taking place in a Super Bowl?
Wow.
Why did he slide? Do you think he...
I don't know. He slid down like it was
the one,
second base.
Do you think he knew that if he got in the end zone, it would give the other team a chance? So he stopped at the one?
What's the other team for this guy when he's wearing a bra and no pants?
I don't know. Security?
That's the other team?
Yeah. Why would you slide?
To avoid contact? I'm not sure what team this
dude's on. I think
he was
trying to avoid contact because there was an officer, I believe he's an officer, who went head first. It would have been a targeting call, but the officer flew over him as he slid.
I gotcha.
So I think he was trying to avoid contact.
You think he would have gotten a targeting, maybe roughing the Streaker?
Yeah, it was a hedge because the guy, it's going to be targeting. USF plays there, so sometimes a college stadium, that would have been a review. He probably would have missed the next game, that officer.
What do you think Kevin Harlan is going to hear, like, act like a man? You can act like a man.
I wonder, you think he couldn't get criticized for that, right? The whole be a man thing.
Yes, he can.
You think so?
Yeah.
Nah.
What, men can't wear bras?
See, that's what I was thinking. He'll be fine. I say he'll be fine.
I don't know. I think he's going to catch it. He's going to have... Okay. Odds Kevin Harlan has to apologize.
Ooh. I say plus 1,500.
Really?
Yeah.
15 to 1? I'm going to put something on that. Because in this day and age, you have to apologize for everything.
He won't have to apologize.
I think it's more like a 3 to 1. You not think 15. So? Oh, yeah.
I don't see it.
Oh, no. In this day and age, act like a man or
be a man.
Be a man. Oh, what?
Take off the bra and be a man.
Take off the bra and be a man. What? Cross-dressers can't be men?
Not if they're streaking.
Why not?
Well, you heard him.
Kevin Harlan's going to catch it. Oh, no. The social justice warriors are going to be out there, brother. The
starter,
SJW.
We got
info. It's on alert. Kevin Harlan, you're on alert.
We got info from Dre. The starters never played. Our Lady of the Lake is in San Antonio, where they have a Houston campus, too. I'm looking at it right now. Maybe they just have a satellite campus. But he says the starters didn't play in the game, apparently. Yeah. Oh. Bench leads number 5, Houston, and thrashing of Our Lady of the Lake.
Well, and they didn't stop. It was still 112 to 41 or some crap.
They're an NAIA school.
Yeah. I mean, that's really, really terrible.
They're actually 1-4 against D1 teams this year.
Are they really? They beat a D1 team?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what poor souls they were.
Wasn't the number 5 team in the country, that's for sure.
No.
Where are they now? What happened yesterday? It came out, didn't it?
Well, no, the poll comes out today, I think.
Is it today?
I believe so. They'll probably be lower after losing East Carolina.
Well, right, but Texas lost behind them, so.
Yeah. Iowa, I was looking at it just randomly. Iowa's the number 8 team in the country. They won't be. They lost to Indiana yesterday. They're 13-6, and they were 13-5 and the number 8 team in the country.
It's funny. I mean, I think right now Oklahoma State and Texas have the same record, and Oklahoma State just beat them. Mm-hmm. And Texas is a top 10 team in the country. Oklahoma State isn't even ranked.
I would have to go through Oklahoma State's schedule to see
who they've
beaten and all that stuff. But, yeah, I was like, Iowa, I know it's a weird year, but they were at the time already at 5 conference losses and were still the number 8 team in the country.
I don't know how they finished, but Texas, we watched that game. Texas was 5 of 33.
From 3?
From 3.
Yeah, I saw the Raheel. You had the back and forth with Raheel about, hey, knock it off. Stop shooting shots. You can't make those.
Yeah. Oh, Samson knows a coach at Lady of the Lake. That's why they played him.
It's probably get those guys paid a little money and stuff.
Yeah. Do them a little favor. I think Alonzo was there. He sent out a picture of Saturday afternoon at U of H. Like, Our Lady of the Lake
game?
That's the
game you chose to go watch? Well, you knew you were going to walk away with a U of H victory, at least.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. Apparently, Jeff Luhnow and the Astros have come to some terms on the lawsuit. He filed a lawsuit for a wrongful termination lawsuit. It arose in the fallout of the ball club sign stealing scandal. They must have come to terms because both sides filed on Friday, according to court records, for them to dismiss it. When both sides filed to dismiss, it means that probably means that they've got a settlement. So Jeff Luhnow going to get some.
Was it, I don't know if it was you or here at the time, or was Lance talking to Richard Justice about how Luhnow probably wouldn't be getting back in the baseball while he's suing his former employer. I wonder if this is something to expedite the process if he wants back in. Like, let's agree to something, so I'm not suing you guys anymore. And...
Right, I don't
find a place.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He should. I'm shocked. You know what? I thought immediately he's done in baseball. But man, Jeff Luhnow is so smart, so good at this. I would be shocked if he doesn't get a job now.
If he wants one, yeah.
If he wants one,
I mean, it feels like the fans will get their pound of flesh when the Astros are, if they ever do ever play in front of fans again. But as far as the AJ Hinch job. If Jeff Luhnow wants one, I imagine he gets one.
How many guys were actually involved? Altuve's still around. Bregman's still around.
Mm-hmm.
Correa's still around.
Correa's was a mouthpiece.
Yuli's
so
still around.
He'll get his. Reddick's gone.
Springer's gone.
Springer's gone.
Brantley wasn't part of it.
No.
I mean, so
not many of the everyday. Well, the Bregman. So not a lot of the, like, about half the everyday lineup is gone from the from that particular roster. But still, you still got some star players on the roster.
I bet you that they're going to give like Jordan grief.
Of course they will.
Cheater.
Jordan wasn't.
Hey, dumbass, I wasn't here.
Yeah. Hey. But the biggest stars, as much as we love George, Bregman is an agitator. Correa couldn't stop talking last year. Now Altuve was the guy everyone wanted to pick on. So they still have their guys to get after if they so choose.
Yeah. Oh, there's still going to be guys, but you would think, okay, get out.
They didn't get their chance last year.
I know, but still, let's move along. Keep it moving.
Good luck with that one.
Keep it moving here. Okay. Let's just let it go. Let it go, people. I mean, honestly, you still, and the Dodgers won, so they can stop.
Well, other fans, for whatever reason, this scandal unified baseball fans against the Astros. Like, yeah. Everyone was like, what?
That's right.
We hate them. Everyone's going to, if they're in front of fans this year, they're going to catch it.
That's just why Manfred's such a douche. He just put it all on the Astros. Well,
it was his best way of getting out of it. He didn't want it. He didn't want it to be the entire baseball entirely was under this haze of cheating. So letting it fall on one team, all the anger directed at one team. And anytime anyone brought up another team, it was like, whatever, not as bad as the Astros. When the Red Sox got caught, it was like nothing to the extent of what the Astros were doing. That was the immediate caveat surrounding it. Nothing to the extent.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
It's best. He deemed it best for baseball if the Astros caught it.
That's
all.
That's right. You get it all. Take the brunt of it. You want a title, you're going to catch it. Screw Rob Manfred.
Yeah, I know. Your avatar says it all.
1012 ESPN 97.5, 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. Still plenty to go. Don't you go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, it's 10:15 ESPN 97.5. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. Did you see, this happened last year? Was it last year, I guess. Casey Clemens and his buddy Connor Capel got beat up at a bar, and they just got awarded $3.24 million.
Yeah, every time I type in Astros as I'm getting stories ready for the show the last week or two, that story's been coming up as that trial has been proceeding. And you see the injuries those two guys suffered.
See the pictures of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Holy crap. They got the snot beat out of them. And, you know, it's like, okay, what did you guys do? Whatever. Apparently, he was just at a waitress station, and they asked him to move, and then all of a sudden it was, you know, they're getting the snot beat out of him. That's not right. Just, first of all, get out of the waitress station, okay, pervert. All right? She's trying to do her job. She's just trying to work. So maybe you shouldn't be standing there. But apparently, well, Casey, he suffered injuries to his ribs and his throwing elbow, which is a bad thing. When you're trying to make money in the big leagues or in minors, whatever, and it cost them $3.24 million.
So now,
that's what the award was. A lot of times that's not what you get.
Yeah. So Connor Capel is Roger Clemens' grandson.
Godson.
Casey Clemens, clearly his son. And happened on January 1st, and you always say you shouldn't be out. That's a rookie move to be out on that day. I imagine it was early morning.
No, December 31st is.
Well, I imagine it was early morning.
Oh, it might have been, yeah.
I imagine it's that. Who knows? I don't have the exact time, but it seems likely. A bouncer told Capel to move away from the bar. Capel was standing near. Then the bouncer put him in a choke, or maybe it's Capel, put him in a choke hold, according to Capel or Capel. And Clemens' lawyer also said the bouncer hit him over the head with a flashlight.
Yeah, both of them look like they got hit right on the nose and forehead. Right in that area with a flashlight, both of them.
Yeah, it looks like both suffered choke holds, and Clemens was hitting the ribs several times. Both of them were thrown outside. Both of them are in the minor leagues, and they clearly injuries. hurt their ability to play.
Yeah.
So, $3.24 million for the two of them.
That's some nice cash. Nice. And Randy Sorrells will get his, too. He's their lawyer. Joe Thomas chimed in on the Deshaun deal. I'm so happy to see the player of his caliber with his leverage is finally holding his franchise accountable to things that they have promised that they were going to do for him, because he's held up his end of the bargain. I think for too long we've seen players that these pieces that are less important than the coaching and the general managers and these ownership sides of things. But when you look at it, is Deshaun Watson not easily the most important person to the success or the failure of the Houston Texans? Shouldn't he hold his employers accountable in the same way they hold him accountable if he wasn't living up to his contract? Well, he's got a point. Yeah, Joe Thomas is a guy who is a Hall of Famer that played on,
and he would know about
the worst organization.
Playing,
that's right.
Playing with bad organizations.
I mean, you can't get any better than Joe Thomas. By the way, Joe Thomas is a shell of what he used to be.
Yeah, he went on the offensive lineman Steve McKinney weight loss plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, some offensive linemen do that. Others, Damon Woody, blow up. But usually the offensive linemen are the ones who slim down.
He does have a point.
Yeah.
Why can't they be accountable? Well, you're the employee, not the employer.
See, the thing Deshaun screwed up with, in my eyes, he's all in on the NBA empowerment thing. Fine, I get it. Don't sign a long-term deal. NBA players have got it down to a T. If you want to hold your organization accountable and you're a star, you don't sign a long deal, because you always hold the thought of you leaving over
I'm
their
out
head.
Of here, right.
Yeah, so you do what you need. Make sure we're competitive. You make the right moves. You don't skimp, or I'm out.
Well, it's a little harder in the NFL with the franchise tags.
Certainly is.
Yeah.
But he locked himself in, and I get it. At the time, he felt we're on the right track. He signed it this past offseason, coming off a divisional round loss where you had a big lead, and that fell away. But the dramatic change in his thought process happened, how many months from the time he signed to the time he said, nah, I got to get out? How long did that take?
It was September to
November,
right after the season, January.
He probably felt that way long before. It just became public in January, but he probably felt that way during the season. So what a stark difference. But yeah, he signed the deal. I'm with Joe Thomas, and I agree, but the deal you sign makes it, unless you want to become a giant malcontent, the Texans kind of can do what they like as far as keeping you on the team if they want you there.
Right. Well, right. I mean, he certainly lost that leverage. But if every player's got leverage, all you have to do is start talking about the owner.
Yeah, it depends on what he, it depends on how far he wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll determine it. But up to this point, he hasn't done that. But there's always a podcast available. Arian Foster would gladly take him.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Man, we'll see. Texans ranked 32nd in the new poll out for next year. They're the last team. Jacksonville's second to last. Detroit is third. Now, Detroit is probably... Jacksonville's going to move up with Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence. I don't... this is off. Jacksonville shouldn't be the 31st. Detroit should be the 31st. The Jets can still be down there. Denver hasn't... What has Denver done? Cincinnati's getting Joe Burrow back. Philadelphia's getting rid of Carson Wentz, which, by the way, Adam Schefter reported this weekend, it will be very soon they'll be announcing the Carson Wentz trade.
And if he gets traded for Nick Foles, along with other things, I mean, kind of full circle for them, for both of them.
I don't think they're taking Nick Foles back.
How much does Nick Foles have left on his deal?
Right. And how much does he have left anyway?
Well, yeah,
and
but
he couldn't beat out Mitchell Trubisky. Is that true. What you're trading for?
No, but they have Ryder. Whatever you think of him or not, they do have a young quarterback on the roster that they can play 2-4 a year and see if he's okay. Nick Foles has only $4 million on his deal in 2021, and then $4 million after that. So he's not a very expensive backup.
So what is okay? Make a trade. You're the Bears. What do you want for Carson Wentz, Nick Foles trade?
excuse me, let me rearrange things. His base salary is 4-4, but the cap hit in 2021 is the sign of the devil. A lot of sixes. It's like 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6. I don't know why that's set up that way.
Because of his signing bonus.
In 2022, as far as the numbers, I get the money, but the numbers are just funny to me. And then in 2022, was 10.6666, whatever. Yeah, so it cost to have him on the roster in 2021 is just over $6.5 million. That's a little bit expensive for a backup quarterback, but it's not crazy if you want him and you're the Eagles.
Well, yeah, because he might have to start. You never know.
Yeah.
He might be the starter. But, okay, you make the deal.
Well, I saw somewhere that it'd be Carson Wentz to Chicago for a first, Tariq Cohen and Nick Foles.
Carson Wentz to Chicago for a first?
Yes.
Tariq Cohen.
And Nick Foles.
Hell, I thought Philadelphia'd have to give up the first.
You would think so.
To get rid of him. To get him off their books. That's there's zero. You can't be that. No, he'll get fired immediately. You can't make that deal if you're the Bears. You can't give up a first for Carson Wentz. You should get a second, Brock Osweiler trade.
Let me see. I feel like I saw that tweet from a reputable source. I just want to make sure. I would have to find it. Yeah, name I'm hearing is Tariq Cohen, a first rounder, and yes, Nick Foles.
Wow. Oh, I'd do it immediately if I'm Philadelphia. Immediately, if not sooner. Are you kidding me?
And this came from Natalie Egan-Holf. She would have gotten this from the Philly side because she works for Philly radio. So it would have come from Philly.
It came from Philly? No wonder.
Yeah, I would imagine. Who else? How would she get it from? I don't know if she has a source in Chicago, but working in Philly, you would think it would have come from them. She works for the Fanatic in Philly.
There's zero chance to be. You cannot. I mean, you gave up. What'd you give up to get Trubisky to move up? And you're going to give up now? You're going to give up a first for a guy who's terrible? Are you kidding me? I mean,
he's had 1 year being terrible.
Yeah, but he was.
Is that enough to turn you off completely from Carson Wentz?
Dude, he was terrible at a level at a rate never before known to man.
I know, but we always think, like, fans do this all the time. Like, when their team has a down year, they want to fire a coordinator when the coordinator's had a pretty good history of success. Get him out of here because he stunk 1 year. Carson Wentz, the year before, people were praising him for getting that sorry Philly team in the playoffs. When they went on that run, now they didn't have a great record. They went 9-7, but that team was barren of talent. He found a way.
Let me ask you, are you going to risk his salary, his contract length?
No, because
what you saw this year?
I wouldn't have given him the money to start with. So, no, I'm not doing it because I didn't think he was worth it initially when they gave it to him. But I'm not going to use last year as, all right, he's never going to be a good quarterback.
Well,
again.
No, I'm not, but I'm also not going to give up a first rounder for a guy that played like that.
Yeah, I don't know if that particular compensation is correct. Like I said, it came from one person on the Philly side. You would imagine on the Philly side being she works in that town, which is, according to Mims.
I ain't like that dirty ass, trash ass city.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows?
No, I agree with him.
Okay. But who knows? But I just don't want to bury Carson Wentz. But I get it. You're giving up Cohen, who they didn't really use anyway. Foles, and the first round is a big deal. But if you think he's good, and the Bears are picking where? In the low 20s or in the mid-20s? Or where are they? Not mid-20s. They didn't make the playoffs.
No. Yes, so they did.
They did.
They played the Saints.
So mid-20s, late teens. It's not a high first-round pick.
No.
And if you think Carson Wentz is that dude still, you want to take a shot at the quarterback to try to figure things out? Because you're probably not going to pick a one that people think is going to be a sure, clear-shot guy that late anyway in this draft.
Yeah, I ain't doing it. I am not giving up a first rounder for him. I wouldn't take a second rounder. He's Brock Osweiler.
You know, to be fair, I wouldn't have given up a first rounder for Matt Stafford. I know you had to do some of it to get rid of Goff, but I'm not giving up first rounders for Matt Stafford. Why?
Actually, he's gotten the Lions to the playoffs three times.
Carson Wentz has done that too.
Yeah, but he didn't have that season this year. Matthew Stafford wasn't awful.
But he wasn't good. He wasn't good enough.
No.
And he's usually not good enough
or
hurt. But
he's on the Lions.
Understood. But he's usually not good enough or hurt.
I wouldn't compare Stafford to Wentz.
I'm not giving up picks for a perennial non-winner.
He's with the Lions.
So what? Elevate your franchise. That's what we're always told great quarterbacks do.
He did.
He was good enough to make the playoffs, not good enough to win playoff games?
Nope.
I'm not giving up first rounders for Stafford. Why?
A first rounder.
No, multiple. Because they had to give up to get rid of Goff. They gave up multiple first rounders.
Well, don't forget that 134 you got off the books.
That's what I understand. Yeah. But Stafford's not my answer.
Stafford is.
Stop it. You wouldn't want Matt Stafford,
love Stafford
on your team.
Yeah, I love Stafford.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't.
Two first-round picks.
And another pick.
But you had to get Goff
off the
books.
I'm not giving up first-rounders for Stafford, no matter if Goff wasn't involved. Say Goff wasn't expensive.
To me, the Goff thing, you're trying to get rid of him, trying to get out of from 134.
Then I would have
Unlike Wentz.
I would have found
actually,
a different quarterback.
Goff was better than Wentz.
I would have found a different quarterback.
And you still had to throw two and a three.
If I'm getting rid of Goff and giving up first-round picks to do it, I'm finding a better. I'm not doing it for Stafford.
All right. We're talking basketball right now. And we could talk about basketball on the other side, too, as a matter of fact. Hoops Sporting Goals and Equipment is what I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about the best damn goal in the history of the world. And it's not even arguable. If you're looking for the best goal, man, Keith Tate is just fantastic. He's the best. He is literally the best. And the installation is second to none. All the accessories are second to none. When you go to the website, you're going to see the lights. You're going to see the stenciling. You're going to see the net that will block the ball from going in the street. You'll see all of that stuff. But you're also going to see the best basket. And what you're going to see is a bunch of pictures of kids that are hanging on the rim because they love to dunk. Dad, they love to dunk. Get them a goal that will raise up and down so that they can actually enjoy it. They can have fun. That's what they're out there for. And they won't go out there on a 10-foot goal stapled to the – and oh, by the way, the curb appeal on the hoops goal is the best. It actually increases the value of your home as opposed to the other goals. So if you're looking for the best goal, period, exclamation point, produnkhoops.com. That's produnkhoops.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Super Bowl, it was we haven't had stinkers like this one for a while.
You know, I asked that question, when was the last time we had one? And then we got one.
Yeah, we had a...
It was the Seattle-Denver game. Another one where the defense completely dominated a high-scoring offense.
Yep. The Colts-Bears was kind of sucky, too.
Yeah, it was still in the ballpark of a close game. That game was not entertaining. These two, the Seattle-Denver one and the one yesterday, were like, okay. This is not going to be fun at all.
And it was unbelievably prolific offenses that got shut down.
Yeah. They couldn't block the I don't remember exactly how the Seattle one played out. I know the score and it was a blowout. But just the Chiefs' inability to protect their guy and their inability to adjust.
It was unbelievable seeing him. I know a bunch of people that were hey, the Chiefs, they're the best team. You know, I'm betting on the best team. He's the best quarterback right now. You usually bet the best quarterback in the Super Bowl. But Lamont asked it earlier, does defense still win championships? And the answer last night was obviously.
When your fronts can outmatch an offensive line so dominantly, then yes.
Well, yeah.
That it was it wasn't just a defense. It was an offensive line that wasn't near complete or whole against two really good pass rushers who have been on a good run these playoffs. They did the same thing to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, that defensive front was great, and you had no offensive linemen, so that was a real, real problem. And I'm not one. I know we didn't make adjustments. You got to make adjustments. You know what, though? Eric Bieniemy needed to make adjustments, and he didn't.
Well, there's some things you can't adjust for. Look, the quick game could have worked, sure. I don't know if it'll work, but that's something you could have gone to. But there's some times where you just need to be able to draw back. Not every time, but it's 3rd and 6. You need to be able to protect. You can't just go to quick game on 3rd and 6, and there was no shot.
Yeah,
It wasn't always 3rd and 13 because of a penalty or minus or negative play. It's like 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6.
Well, why didn't
and they couldn't
do,
protect
like Tom Brady did? How many times did he throw to Fournette? I mean, waited for Fournette to get out of the backfield, throws it right to him, bam. How many times did he throw quickly to Gronk?
Did the Bucs defense allow for that? Darrell Williams?
Their safeties.
Well, the two deeps to cover, but if you have Levante David man up on who was Darrell Williams or Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
He was on Kelsey.
Well, then you have Devin White do it. I'm just asking because it's a simple adjustment. Hey, some checkoffs to your running back.
Too deep. You think you throw a few bubble screens? Just try. Get some one-on-one and see if anybody can break anything, especially when you got a Tyreek Hill or Sammy Watkins or Hardman or Robinson or whomever.
I would have thought to do that certainly on the earlier downs, or even run the ball a little bit more because it seemed to work occasionally. But no matter what, as much as Brady was able to drop off to Leonard Fournette on a 3rd and 4, and because the linebacker's falling so deep in the coverage, he can just drop it off and he runs for a first down. There are other times when it's 3rd and 5 and Brady can stand back there and make a throw. That was the difference. They could do that.
Obviously. They couldn't do any of that.
No.
Any of that. No, and he was running around. Yeah, I didn't think of the Manziel, but he was running around like Johnny back there, running 30 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it's either that or take a sack.
Well, right, but that was very – I mean, he was bailing. Now, he did have to bail in a hurry. But
and these were like straight speed rushes where guys were getting beat around the corner
unblocked.
Yeah, that too. And at some point, the quarterback will be affected. As great as he was, so you're gonna start seeing ghosts. Sometimes they were real, they weren't. You're gonna do it because from the get go, this started on drive one. Immediately, this was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was an out and out ass kicking. I mean, we can get into Bieniemy and Andy Reid, but they weren't winning that game.
No.
They weren't going to win. You can't. Their inability to keep Shaq Barrett and the blitzing and Jason Pierre-Paul away from Mahomes, they weren't going to win.
This is ugly art. Jack and Cal at Denny's this morning saying, sure, I'm glad we didn't hire that Bieniemy feller. What a pitiful performance. You going to eat that sausage, Jack?
Well, they can't eat breakfast together.
Well, I know, but I don't think Cal's over there with his fork going, you can eat this sausage, yeah? And digging in his plate.
You don't think that's possible? Cal would eat a sausage off someone's plate?
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, it may be outlandish, but don't think it's impossible.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It could happen. Yeah. It absolutely could happen. 713-780-3776. Let's get Jerry in here. He wants to talk about the refs.
He's not exactly ready. Now he's ready.
Jerry, what's going on?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to know, I kind of tuned in a little late, but I haven't heard you guys make any comments on the calls that referee number 51 was making there.
A couple of them were pitiful. The holding on the interception was a bad call. The interference in the end zone when the ball was clearly uncatchable, and not only uncatchable, but it was pretty ticky-tack what they called Tyrann Mathieu for. The refereeing wasn't bad, and it was pretty lopsided. It was one-sided. There's no question.
It was one-sided. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And did you have a big part of the game? Yeah.
Yeah. No. It absolutely was. Did you have money on the Chiefs?
What's that?
Did you have money on the Chiefs?
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't have any money on it, but I was just expecting a better game, and I thought really McHome would have came out on top there.
I expected him to play much better. I didn't expect the Tampa defense to just dominate although we did talk about it, and, you know, I had Tampa. Losing that offensive line was a big, big problem.
Do you think the Mike Evans one down the sideline on the left side was a pass interference when Breland stumbled? And
oh, that was interference. Because you can't tell. I was with who was the Mike?
I don't know his name.
The referee.
Yeah.
Anyway, he said you can't tell how far that ball is. I mean, you don't know if he's going to be able to run under it or dive for it.
I don't buy that because why is uncatchable a thing then? You should be able. Look, well, you can tell. You can say it's an interference. I'm not even going to argue that. That's you call it interference. But the whole they make that judgment call. They're supposed to be able to make that judgment call.
Well, there's a lot of balls that are that one wasn't uncatchable because he could have run under it. If you throw a ball up to the ball in the end zone on the interference, that was uncatchable. It was overthrown.
And they still threw the flag.
Right. That was a bad call.
That's what I'm thinking. They have now removed the catchable, uncatchable thing. They've taken it off the table.
Well, no, it's still the thing.
Well, it sounded like from the guy, the expert, that, well, we can't make that determination.
Well, on that long ball, you can't because you don't know if he can run under it. That ball, though, that was thrown over the receiver's head the end zone.
How often do you see the uncatchable thing now?
Rarely.
So I don't think they like legislating that. If they believe it's interference, they'll throw the flag.
Well, and
unless it's 40 yards down the field.
Well, it was still a bad call anyway. It was still a bad call on the interference in the end zone. Now, Breland, I thought, was an interference.
I thought he tripped. I thought that was incidental. Now, when he came down and clipped, he clipped Mike Evans, I didn't see an intentional reach, but he did clip him. So
yeah, he clipped him.
Yeah, so I don't know. Incidental. So if they had just tangled feet and Mike Evans fell, that would have been just incidental contact.
And here's another thing. How stupid are you? Why are you calling timeouts with 49 seconds left on third and one?
They're trying to be aggressive, get the ball back. That's all.
And third and one with 49 seconds left?
Yeah.
That's all you did was open the door for Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's how
it worked. And the Packers both opened the door for Tom Brady. Congratulations.
Well, the Packers didn't call time. They just had a bad, call. Bad defensive call.
But they opened the door for that team before the half.
I don't imagine the Chiefs operate in fear. They don't ever do that. So I'm not surprised they called timeout. Now their defense wasn't playing well. They didn't get a stop. But the Chiefs are uber aggressive. If that's the way you are, like Frank Reich has that attitude, and sometimes it burns you. I didn't have a giant issue with that because that's what they do. They want the ball.
To me, it was like, what are you doing? There's not enough time. I know you're behind, but what are you doing? You are not getting the ball. You are not scoring. And oh, by the way, it's third and one. Third and one is not, it's very makeable. Just go to the locker room. They lost 7 points on that deal. That's a huge turnaround. Yeah, but the refs weren't good. I don't think there's any question. They weren't very good, and it was very loud. It was 8-1 in penalties in the first half.
And then the penalties, particularly there in Chiefs territory, the one negated an interception, obviously another setup, 2 touchdowns. It's like these weren't just small things on the Bucs side of the field. These were things that not only extended drives, it set up touchdowns, and you can imagine the Chiefs. You saw it. Those plays took them out of their game. Defensively, those guys were kind of shot after that. I mean, from all the emotion of getting that stop on, and even the, they got a big punt and out off that stop. Now they got one first down, didn't move the ball, and then they punted. And I forgot what the penalty was. I don't know if it was a holding call. And then they had to punt again and he shanked it.
Right.
Yeah. It was just a confluence of events that not completely took them out of the game.
That cost me. But they went on to score and I wanted that. I wanted tick, 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 tick. So at 10:43, ESPN 97.5, news of the weird. It's going to be weird coming your way on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. The Iran cleric, Del, apparently he is anti-vaccine. People who are vaccinated for COVID have become homosexuals, he says.
Why is that the go-to? It feels like that one by people who don't like the vaccine.
Yeah.
That feels like the go-to. Oh, you're going to become gay.
Well, I don't think they don't really look kindly on that type of activity. Apparently, this regime has killed 4,000 to 6,000 gays and lesbians since 1979.
Oh, I'm not surprised that the vaccine turning you gay would be considered negative, and that's their response to it. I just don't know why the vaccine is expected to turn people gay. What other shot changes people's sexuality? Is this
apparently this vaccine?
It's unique to the COVID vaccine, or do other vaccines do that? Like if the polio vaccine does it too?
Well, I know. I think it's. I don't know. I don't know that. Of course, I don't know what they think about the polio vaccine. They might think that.
Excuse me. I would say, why do you think this vaccine in particular? Are you just an anti-vaxxer, period, cleric, or this one in particular turns people gay, and that's why you have a problem?
Yeah,
with
I think it might be this one.
I would like to see what evidence he has.
Yeah. Haitian president. Apparently, they had a coup attempt. He says, "I am not a dictator." Haitian president Jovenel Moïse said during a national address Sunday, hours after announcing that the police had foiled a coup attempt and made more than 20 arrests. It sounds like you're kind of a dictator.
Well, I mean, there was a coup in this attempted coup in this country.
Well, there was, and they're all being.
I don't know what's going on in Haiti to speak on it. If was he elected democratically, then he's not a dictator unless he's done things since to. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about Haiti's government.
Yeah, I don't either. But I do know that this seems to be an ironic.
I'm not a dictator, but I'm arresting people. Well, I don't know.
Well, I don't.
Maybe know. Right. Maybe they actually deserved it, John. We don't know.
We don't know about that. A man has apologized. He returned handcuffs he had stolen from the LAPD more than 60 years ago. Do you think that you should bring back handcuffs that you stole 60 years ago?
I feel like it's less important than a library book at that time. I wouldn't personally drop them off and say I took them. If it's on your conscience, just lay them at the desk and walk out. I'm not going to identify myself. And by the way, I'm sure that those models aren't even used anymore.
More than 60 years ago, he was a teen at a local Bob's Big Boy restaurant. He witnessed a scuffle involving an LAPD officer. He ended up with the officer's handcuffs as they flew off and slid toward him. Finders keepers, I think.
That's not how that works with police equipment.
Yeah.
It's not finders keepers.
Finders keepers.
60 years old, they're not using those anymore.
Losers, weepers. Sorry.
Just keep them, bro.
Yeah,
no
I know,
one,
right?
No one wants those old handcuffs.
Guilty. 60 years?
It took you 60 years to get old, to finally figure out I need to return these?
Boy.
Antiques?
Wait till he tells his wife what he did.
I wouldn't tell
40 her. Years ago.
Well, sometimes you keep those things to yourself.
Keep your handcuffs to yourself. A 20-year-old man shot and killed in Nashville. Apparently, he was a YouTube video shoot gone wrong. He was in a video shoot. He was allegedly trying. He was attempting a prank robbery.
And the people who he was prank robbing shot him?
Wilkes and some friends were apparently trying to pull a prank on strangers in the hopes of making a viral YouTube video. The shooting reportedly took place in the parking lot. Police say Wilkes and a friend approached a group of people, both of them wielding butcher knives. Starnes was among those people, and not realizing that Wilkes was filming a prank, shot him. Starnes told the detectives he was protecting himself and others from a perceived threat.
Yeah. You got to understand where you are and what state you're in. I mean, Tennessee, I'm not rolling up on anyone, say, pretending to attack them.
Like, how about here's some fun? This will be funny.
Yeah, you don't look. This is why you need someone with some sense in the room. Hey, man, you know, if you roll up on someone with a knife, they may shoot you. You think you want to do this? Maybe we fake the prank. Just have our buddies pretend to be attacked so they won't shoot us. Nah.
Nah.
You need someone in the room to tell you what possibly could go wrong.
If you...
You're asking to get shot.
That's all. I mean, you bring a knife, I'm going to bring a gun.
Look, I don't know Tennessee.
And this is a prank? This is what you think is a funny prank? This is going to be funny. We're going to come after you with butcher knives, and see how scared you get.
It's not a prank
for the YouTube.
It's not a prank for the person you are doing this to.
No.
And you got shot.
That's not very funny. And to anybody. Oh, but guess what? I'm going to protect myself. You die.
And not just shot, killed. Exactly.
Yeah, right. Apparently, man got his 7.2 PPP funds from the government. So he went and bought a Seminole County mansion and luxury cars. And police think that he has used the money illegally. He's accused of using $7.2 million from Paycheck Protection Program to buy a mansion. He was indicted on 2 counts of wire fraud, 3 counts of aggravated identity theft, and 3 counts of illegal monetary transaction.
Oh, the police think he... the clue wasn't that he used the money to buy a mansion?
Yeah. I mean, to me...
I don't know what people think. The government loaned you money. You don't think they're going to keep track of that money? The government doesn't like coming off their money. You see how difficult it is for people to get those stimulus checks?
You should see this thing. It's got guest house. It's got servants' quarters. It's got pool, tennis courts. It's only 7.2.
It's Seminole County. It's not Beverly Hills.
Yeah, who wants to live over there?
Yeah, isn't that Tallahassee neighborhood?
Yeah, who wants to live in Tallahassee?
Exactly. People don't understand the government will come after their money. And if you're going to use it that way, they're going to have something to say about it.
Over 3,000 Viagra pills have been confiscated. A passenger said they were for his friends. They want to have a lot of action.
Like that 81-person orgy you talked about last
week. Right. I mean, how many pills? 3,200 pills.
How much would that...
81, that's 400 pills each.
What would that last one person?
400 pills each.
But what would that last one person?
Like, and that would take 81 people.
I'm trying to think. If you are one person with how many? 3,200 Viagra pills?
Oh, no, it'd be 8 would be 400. It'd be 40 pills each for 81 people.
Let's say you're the average man who had, let's say, not even average, but let's say you average 4 times a week.
Yeah.
How long would 3,200 pills last?
Dude, I mean, wait a minute.
Four times a week?
You can't get two times out of one? Out of one pill?
4 times a week times.
Man, get a couple.
52 weeks, let's round it down to 50. That's 50 weeks.
Yeah, times four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of sex.
That's a lot of sex we're having.
Yeah.
That's 8 years of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. No, it's 16 years of it. What is it? 200? 200.
200.
200 at 16 years. I'm ready.
That's a good stash.
I'm planning ahead. That's what I'm doing. I don't want to get caught short. 3,200 pills for his friends. Man, they want to have some fun. He and his
I don't think I want to have that many friends where I'm
going
out
to have that much fun.
No.
Good Lord, 3,200? And I don't have that many friends. I don't want that.
No.
No.
You don't want to pass them around to your boys?
No.
Doling them out?
We're done. The press box is next right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, man.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.